this is your dear pal, the Joker, and you have the privilege of listening to Ear Candy from the 8-Bit Geek Podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome, like Joker said, to the 8-Bit Geek. It's the only podcast that wasn't invited to E3. So there's that. Fuck you. I'm your host, Jeremy, and with me today is the most revered rapper in the game.
Yo, 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 it's Dougie D. I'm not...
Say
for
it.
Those of you who are on Patreon, you'll get to listen to that whole joke played out beforehand.
Yes. If you want to hear why we're laughing, subscribe to us on Patreon and you'll get the behind the scenes. You'll get the extended episode with us chit-chatting in the beginning and at the end of the episode. Yeah. It's kind of the pre-show. So you get the pre-show and the after-party show. What do they call that? Is that just the after show?
Yeah.
You get the after show. So lots of fun there. Also, if you could do so, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher Radio. I believe, I'm not sure yet what we're going to do. We'll talk about more, I guess, behind the scenes before we do anything up front. But soon coming to SoundCloud.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But we got a while before that because we got a contract with Podbean. So.
Yeah. Do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do. You can follow us.
Got to make that paper.
That's right. Doug.
Fucking.
Doug E.D.
I got to get out of this persona. My rapper persona.
No, you need to be in it all day.
Oh, shit, y'all. You know where we going next weekend? Oh, shit. We're going to H-Town.
We going to H-Town. Hear my flavor. Gonna see some cosplayers. I'm an R&B singer if you didn't figure that out. I'm gonna show you what you're gonna miss if you miss the Comic Palooza on May 25th through the 22nd through the 25th. Doug, break it down.
Jesus.
You're like, no, I'm done after that.
No, I'm done. I finished. I'm out.
This is fun. So we're going to be leaving on Saturday morning to Comic Palooza. We're going to leave. Doug didn't respond to my text because I know how much he hates it. But we're going to be picking him up at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. All right. This year is going to be different. You know why, Doug? I brought six cameras. I brought six batteries to my camera.
Oh, there we go.
And I am documenting the trip.
Okay.
I'm documenting it from beginning to end, and I'm going to put together, instead of doing what everyone else does and does the whole montage of the show, it's going to be shot more like a documentary.
Okay.
And we're just going to have some fun with it. We have a third person who can run audio for us, and we're going to do a lot of fun. We're going to do video. We're going to do photos. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to do a gallery, which I guess I already said. And we're going to do interviews, we're going to get some drops, and we're going to have a lot of fun reporting from Comic Palooza this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited. It was probably like a breakout favorite from last year. Like we went on that Saturday and Sunday, had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. And I think we came back mind blown.
Oh,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Just like, the fuck was that? Like, where did this convention come from?
Yeah. I was as surprised as you. What's your favorite thing? What are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, man. We saw some, like, grade A cosplay there last year, and I'm really excited to see what they bring out this year, especially since it's a big one. Like, this is a big convention. I'm really excited about that. And then what I'm really, really, really excited to see is that we've talked about this before, how they were too small last year for their space, and how they're talking about how they're going to fill that space completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I'm really excited to see what their plan is this year.
You remember last year?
So much space.
Last year they had a wrestling rink because they had so much space?
Yeah, and roller derby.
Oh, yeah, they did. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then, like, a whole, like, cafeteria section that was its own, like... I mean, it only took up, like, a quarter of that whole room. And it was, like, you still have...
They had so many tables.
It was ridiculous. But I'm really excited for that, to see how they fill that out this year. And that's not even getting to like the second and third floor where all the panels were. It was like a fucking maze of just rooms.
Dude, we were like,
every
what?
Room had something going on in it.
We were like, hey, we're looking for 1452B-C.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, that's okay. You go all the way down, and then you're going to take a right, and then you're going to take a left, and then you're going to follow the lights until you don't see anything anymore, and you're in just pitch black. All right, what you're going to do then is you're going to shoot up a flare. A helicopter's going to come pick you up, all right? You're going to ride on that for 14 hours.
And then after it drops you into a lagoon, you're going to have to find your way out, and when you do, there'll be a man waiting with a golden ticket, and then you found the entrance.
Yeah. And then we saw Greg Capullo, and so that's what we did. It was fun and crazy.
Not a lot of people found the room, though. A lot of people.
No, it was like us and like two people and an alligator.
A lot of people died that day.
Yeah. So, I'm really pumped. I thoroughly enjoyed our time there last year. I'm just really excited to see what they do.
I'm in the same boat with you, brother. It's going to be a great time. So. Let's see. We got a lot of stuff to hit up. Oh, before we go on, we kind of didn't mention this, but Kev's not here today.
Shit. Whoops.
It's kind of my fault.
I don't think it's your fault.
Oh, I was born on today.
Well yeah, because today's... Okay, when we're recording this, it's Jeremy's birthday, so happy birthday, Jeremy. Everyone say it with me. Ready? Happy birthday, Jeremy. You can't hear him, but they said it. And... Yeah, so what happened?
So I get home, and there's a surprise party. And first of all, I didn't even notice it this year. It was really... Mm-hmm. She did it in a really good way. And Doug was not invited.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to ask Ashley, because I'm pretty sure Doug wants an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But the real question is, would Doug have made it if he was invited?
Probably not, but that's beside the point.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But I wanted the invite.
Yeah, but it's the fucking thought that counts.
Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, Doug didn't receive that. Now, this party ended at about 8 o'clock, and Kev kind of got tied up with his ladies.
Plural.
Yes. And so he couldn't make it. But you get the both of us. Hopefully next... And you won't hear from Kev, oh God, until next week. You'll hear a lot of us this weekend.
Yeah, well, at least shows. I mean...
Yeah.
I'm thinking Saturday...
We get Saturday, Sunday, and then a Monday wrap-up. Right?
Yeah. We'll
yeah.
Out.
We'll get a Monday wrap-up. So you can expect a lot of things coming out of us this weekend. Well, that came out wrong.
A lot of content regarding Comic Palooza coming from us on our website, the8bitgeek.com, this weekend.
Ding. Ding, 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 ding. All right, so we are about to hit up a little bit of news in a segment we like to call The News. That's all I got. Hey, hold on. Now, I'm trying to run this. Maybe it's going to be loud. Hold on. Is that loud?
No, it was fine.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was all right.
Okay. It's the most spectacular, magnificent, and important news you'll hear all day. Or not. All right, so this kind of blew my mind. I kind of hope I see it happen. Now, will there be enough content to actually do it? Who knows? But Disney is planning a Marvel and Star Wars TV channel. Potentially. Yeah. That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been a quote from Daily Finance, which is the follows. We have said that these channels and these brands, ABC, Disney, maybe even down the road, have something related to Star Wars and Marvel. We do have an ability as a company to take a product, specifically film, entertainment, television, movies, directly to customers. So... Who knows?
It would be interesting, but I don't think that they, as it stands right now, I don't think they have enough content for a Star Wars channel. I mean, it depending on what they're showing, because I'm sure they only have the rights to X amount of things. So, like, okay, so you're going to show seasons 1 through 6 of The Clone Wars, seasons currently 1 through 2 of Rebels, and then 6 movies, maybe 7 by the time this comes out, right?
Well, not even the first one, because Fox owns that one.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah,
episode 6.
Disney's getting ready to release the uncut, like, Blu-ray special edition or whatever. That's supposed to be happening, so they'll show them.
Like, they'll have them.
Oh, they'll have them. Yeah, they'll have them. So, you know, but that's a week, 2 weeks worth of content. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah I mean,
but
it's,
you know,
not even...
if they can get like maybe the Robot Chicken. I mean, you've got the Robot Chicken Star Wars specials. You've got the Family Guy Star Wars specials. And all
here's
that stuff.
Here's
the
other
droid
movies,
the Ewok movies. But still, that's not a lot.
And then you have to have original content, right? So you have to actually come up with all these shows. So it's going to be a tough sell, I would think. You know, I mean,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
you'd have to push out at least. Okay, how many? I mean, at nighttime you have at least 3 shows a night that are brand new every night. So you're talking 36, 12, 18 shows, 22, I mean, you know. Like,
yeah, something that they're not, I don't think they're prepared to do. Now, what they could do, and I would like to see them do this somehow, I mean, if why not do, like, a Marvel/Star Wars channel? Like, why not take two of your biggest properties that may not necessarily have enough content for their own channel, but, like, merge them together?
And just call it, like, Disney Adult.
Yeah, or something like that, exactly. Because, I mean, with Marvel, you do get rights to a lot of the cartoons, the old cartoons, like the old X-Men series, because those were either WB or whatever, but they're still through Marvel Entertainment. You also get all their animated movies as well, kind of like Hulk versus Wolverine, the Avengers little animated movies and stuff, as well as, of course, the current run of Marvel movies, as well as some of their other ones, like Blade or whoever the fuck, I don't remember what else they used to have. I mean,
Ghost Rider. They just got Ghost Rider back, so there's a TV show.
And then, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all the current cartoons as well, the Spider-Man that still falls under Marvel, the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon coming out. Like, they have a lot of property when you combine them, but individually it's like...
Yeah. Maybe they move all that content off of Disney XD and put it over to the main
channel.
Maybe
not all of it, but... I think you would share it with Disney XD because, like, a lot of kids would watch it. But, yeah, a Disney adult station, again, that would show, like, the 90s classic X-Men cartoon.
Oh,
like,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, as well as, like, some of the old Spider-Man ones, X-Men Evolution, fucking, you know, just all those old Marvel cartoons
so I guess
that
you
we used
do
to watch
have a...
that kids probably wouldn't watch now because it's not fast or flashy enough. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, I guess you do have a little bit. And then, you got the Hulk TV show that you could rerun.
Oh, my God. What? Yeah, right? Exactly. Even, like, the old Avengers, like, cartoon series. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a Thor animated series, like, way back in, like, the 70s, you know? I kind of wish that they would do something like that with, like, DC, too, because, like, think about, like, the Super Friends.
Oh, and think about also you could do all the behind-the-scenes content. Like... You know, all the documentaries and all the things that they've done, of course, on Marvel and the movies, like behind the scenes. That's how I don't know how TV has not taken this idea and ran with it. Instead of doing content on DVDs, they should be making a movie of the making of, like a 30-minute TV show. And the whole season is just the making of one movie, you know, like Avengers 2 on the set, you know, like. Who the fuck wouldn't watch that?
I don't know.
Would you watch that?
You'd have to... Yeah, I would. It'd have to be, I think, almost like... You'd have to release it after the movie.
Well, yeah, really, of course you'd have to do that. But, you know, plan it to where if the movie releases in the summer, coming this fall, the making of, behind-the-scenes adventure that you know, like, 10 episodes this season on. You know, like, behind-the-scenes... Like, holy shit.
It.
And, like, even if you didn't have that much content, you could do it like some of these other shows do, and you do 3 movies at a time, but you cut back and forth between them, you know? Like, on this episode, Avengers, you know, fucking somebody gets hurt. And make it almost like it's real life, but almost make it in a kind of way that it's reality TV.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, fuck, that'd be awesome.
It'd be cool, especially since you can see a lot of the stuff that for aspiring filmmakers, stuff like that is always fun to watch because you get to see how like your favorite directors approach movie making, as well as all like the practical effects that go in a lot of movies, the writing, the costumes, the stuff that people like a lot of people are really interested in. And then I wish that more. I mean, one of my favorite Blu-ray sets, DVD sets, is the Lord of the Rings, extended versions, because they came with these phenomenal behind the scenes like video movies that were like an hour and a half long, and they would exactly what you're talking about, like they'd have a whole thing about like how they created the 3D armies and stuff, like the how it was all computer animated and how they had to create this whole new program to render out this army attacking and all this stuff, and then like 45 minutes on just the sound design in the movie. And like, Nick, if you're listening, you need to go find that and watch it, because it's fucking mind-boggling, and the shit that they do to get some of these sound effects in this movie was just nuts. But yeah, I love stuff like that. I would totally watch a TV show that did something similar.
And
I wish more people would make those. This is my point. Like, you don't see those a lot on DVDs anymore, like the these true behind-the-scene featurettes that are like an hour long.
And you remember how that's how they used to get people to buy DVDs?
Yeah.
Like, that's how, like, it wasn't just the movie. It was like, look at all this added content.
Yeah. Well, then the problem got is that they did that, but then it'd be like, come to Target to get the exclusive blah, blah, blah featurette. And then it'd be like, come to Walmart and get this feature. And it's like, put them all on one motherfucking DVD. Like, I don't.
So now you're telling me that I got to buy four versions of this movie to watch four 15 minute featurettes instead of an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit.
Yep. But yeah, I'm curious to see if they do anything with this Disney, you know, channel extra thing. It's a cool idea, but as it stands right now, I don't think they have it unless they plan on making a lot of new content, even if it's like a Nerdist show just talking Star Wars, like expanded universe stuff or whatever. But that would be cool too. Like, why not do a animated like Star Wars EU, sort of like kind of like the Clone Wars, where it's like a 30 minute show and you just take adventures from the expanded universe, even if it's not canon anymore, quote unquote. Yeah. But just animate these really cool. I'm thinking too much into it. Someone just give me a fucking job over there already.
Dude, we just came up. Okay, so
well, do esports, right? Like, do a competition on like Saturday nights, and it's fucking people playing Battlefront, right?
Yeah.
Like,
dude, we've already got this. We've given them the behind-the-scenes show. We've given them a fucking trivia show. They can have a late-night show. The late-night show just has guests from all the goddamn TV shows and movies, the voiceover artists and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Seriously. And then you talk to Seth Green, and you get Seth Green's show back on happening. The Star Wars Detour is the one that kind of got canned after they got bought.
And then you get... And then, of course, you can probably... Oh, fuck. What was I going to do? You could even do a voiceover show. You know, like people auditioning for the next X-Men, the Uncanny X-Men TV series.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. Come on.
Yeah, I think it's a great. I mean, they have to do a lot of new content like that that will make that channel happen.
Yeah. And I think people would definitely tune in. But would you tune in to this new Spider-Man? Have you heard? Did you see or hear who they're planning a cast? I guess there's one person in the lead for the role, and what's it? Is it just Asa or Asa?
I thought it was Asa.
Asa Butterfield.
Yeah. And so that's, I like him, but
I liked him in. I really did like him in the Ender's Game.
Yeah,
he was pretty good.
And yeah, I liked him in that, and I liked him in Hugo, and I saw a picture of him a couple weeks ago when they were really starting to push that he may be the front runner for Spider-Man, where it was him, like, at, I guess, a premiere or something, and he's in, like, kind of that chic nerd look that's really popular right now, you know, like, kind of like the...
Yeah. I guess he's...
The skinny jeans, but the big, fat, thick-rimmed glasses, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, they're like, look at him. Peter Parker. And it was like, okay, yeah, I see it. I could totally see this kid playing Peter Parker.
But you don't like the idea of him being a teenager.
I don't. I am on 100% on the fence of having another teenager version of.
But that
Spider-Man.
I
understand like why they want to do it, because they want a fresh new Peter Parker. But for the Civil War storyline, having a young Peter Parker does not make a lot of sense, because spoilers, the whole point of him being unmasked has to do with the fact that, like, he's putting everything on the line. He's putting, like, his wife on the line. He's putting his family on the line. And where it's
but they could switch it up.
15-year-old kid, like, what does he have to lose?
But they could switch it up, and he could switch sides. Think about it, because of the fact that, look what they did with fucking Ultron. I mean, he wasn't built by Ant-Man. He was built by Tony Stark. So they could possibly, he could, it could be kind of a line like, hey, you know, I've been Spider-Man for a year or two now, and I don't want to be unmasked. So maybe they don't do it. You know, maybe they put him on Cap side.
Who knows? But I mean, that's another thing, though. It's like, that's the whole point. It's like why he's in this movie to fucking begin with, yeah, is because of how important his story is. So if they're not going to do his part of the story in this movie, then why the fuck does it matter that we have him? I mean, obviously it matters because he's fucking Spider-Man. He's right. Like the biggest goddamn Marvel IP ever.
You know, and I think they cast young. I think they have to do it this way because Spider-Man is going to be a part of the MCU now, and it's going to be a long time, and I don't think they want to recast.
I think what you do is that you somehow flip, I don't know, flippantly just be like, oh, he's existed for 5 years. He's existed since...
Kind of like how they're doing with Batman.
The Battle of Manhattan. Yeah, by the time we see it, whatever. And then you kill him. kill him in this storyline. and then we've got our Peter Parker. He's dead. He unmasks himself. He pays the ultimate price for unmasking himself. It's part of the Civil War. Whatever. Because
he is supposed to die, correct?
And then you introduce a new Spider-Man, and everybody's happy.
Doug, he is supposed to die, right?
I don't remember if he dies or not in Civil War. I don't think he does.
Okay.
I mean, it's Peter Parker. Motherfucker dies all the goddamn time.
They all do.
So I don't remember.
They also said that Hulk is supposed to be in Civil War.
How? I mean, I don't know. But I mean, also the way that movie ended, spoilers, by the way, he just kind of hopped the jet and just get crashed.
Yeah. Like, and then, you know, that's the part where that confuses me that Marvel does with the Hulk. Most of the time he is out of control, but then all of a sudden he has these moments where he's in full control of himself and he knows exactly what he's doing. Like flying a fucking jet as the Hulk, sitting down and just relaxing while, you know, I don't know. I guess those are little things that bug me. But I mean,
it's kind of like that in the cartoons and comics as well. It's like when he gets the madder he gets, yeah, the angrier he gets, the crazier he gets, and the harder it is for control. But you know, it's like what he says at the, you know, in Avengers 1. It's like, oh, my secret is I'm always angry. That's why you can just be like, I'm fucking Hulk now, without something prompting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's times where he gets a little nutso, and then but I don't fucking know. You guys talked about this on last week's show, just the huge casting announcement for for the movie. You know, so they're bringing back Thunderbolt Ross, which is Hulk's like nemesis sort of guy. Like he's after the Hulk, hunting him down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the fact that he's going to be in the movie is kind of like, well, I guess Hulk's going to be in it too, because that dude was in the last Hulk movie. Well, he's been in a couple, I think all the Hulk movies, but William Hurt, I believe, played him in the one with Ed Norton. So that'll be interesting to see.
Huh, that's interesting.
And then the one that I was freaking out about, because you said, like, we all knew those people were going to be in it, was that, like, confirmed Ant-Man was going to be in the movie. Because we haven't figured out how they're going to tie him into it yet. So just seeing that he's even been cast was kind of like, okay, cool. So he is going to fall somehow into this MCU.
I knew you were going to take offense to something if you listened to
it. Oh, there was numerous things.
I was like, I go, man, it's been kind of quiet on the text messages this week.
I didn't get a chance to listen until today, actually. Oh, really? So it's fresh in my mind.
Oh, you're like, you're lucky I'm doing this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Zemo, by the way, Baron Zemo, which is one of the bad guys that's played by Daniel Brühl. It's a Captain America like bad guy. He's one of like the Hydra Nazi motherfuckers.
Huh. He's in it?
So. Yeah, he's one of the ones that you're like, who the fuck is that? Like, who's that character? And I'm sitting at my desk going, no!
Like, why don't you know anything?
Because I grew up as a...
And then you guys blanked on someone's name, too. Like, you guys were like, oh, man, what's that guy's name? Oh, shit. And I forget. I don't remember who it was now that you're not talking about it, but
but we got it at the end. We figured it out.
It took way too long.
But you got to... Okay, but you got to understand, most people... I guess most people understand this about me right now anyways, is that I didn't grow up as a comics kid. I grew up learning all about these things in the arcade, the video games, and movies. And that was my entertainment medium when it came to finding about these characters. You know, I thought the X-Men were like the only fucking Marvel characters. I thought they were all X-Men. In fact, I have 1994, the whole X-Men card series. And you know, like, I just fucking new to me, man. Some of these characters I've never heard of before, but like Guardians of the Galaxy, what the fuck? I guess that's a bad example because nobody really knew.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, fucking nobody knew.
Even the comic book readers were
The comic readers are like, oh, I totally know who Guardians of the Galaxy are. No, they didn't. Shut your fucking
like,
mouth.
I was reading them way back in the day. Way back.
Like, I could believe that they would know who Rocket Raccoon was just because he did exist in other comic franchises before becoming Guardians of the Galaxy. But no, shut the fuck up. No, you didn't.
Yeah. I knew. it's like the hipster comic book reader. I knew who Rocket Raccoon was way before everyone else did.
Yeah.
You know what? It sucks. I didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy because I liked it better when it was a comic, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, man. One of my biggest pet peeves right now. And we'll, this kind of may tie into the Joker a little bit, too. I feel that sometimes people just shit on stuff for the sake of shitting on things. Like and I don't want you to think I'm talking about you at all. But I have a friend on Facebook who literally, like, Guardians of the Galaxy went and saw it and was just like, meh. Mm-mm. Marvel's totally losing their way.
What?
And I was like, okay, whatever. And then they went and saw Avengers and they're like, I'm done with Marvel. Their movies are just terrible. Like they can't commit to killing anybody. There's no consequences. They take, you know, this movie just felt like a setup for Civil War. Like, why wasn't this just called Civil War Part 1? And I just want to rip my fucking hair out and just be like,
why are you still friends with this guy?
Oh, I can tell you post show or not while we're recording who it is, and you'll be like, oh, that's really disappointing. Like,
oh, really?
It's someone we both know. and it's just one of those, like,
I thought it was the same guy who always
it's not Jarrett, that piece of shit.
he gets blasted.
Yeah, I'll put that motherfucker on blast. That dude hates everything. No, but this is one of those, like, where it's just like, it's a comic book movie. Like, can we... Yep.
And Kevin Feige has already gone on record in saying that our movies do not have a dark tone. Like, they have, like, there'll be moments of somber and stuff, but overall, the jokes and the funniness and the lightheartedness will always be in our films. Always. Yeah. That's who we are. That is our DNA.
Right. And I'm just, like, my thinking is just, like, one reason I love this, like, kind of insurgence of comic book TV shows and movies is because they lend themselves so well to cinema, like especially TV shows, in my opinion. Because what is a comic book? It's like a chapter of a story, and you watch an entire season to get the entire volume. You know, kind of like a comic book. Every month you go in on Wednesday and you pick up your new comic and you read the next half of the story. And I feel that that is what Marvel has done with their MCU. Is that they've set up this expansive universe that really just goes across all these movies. And so, yeah, you go to Avengers 2, and it does feel like a stepping stone at points for the Civil War, because it goddamn is. Like, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
But it also, we've had stepping stones to get to this point, is that it's one huge fucking story. Yeah, you can take bits and pieces and be like, well, I don't like Iron Man 2, or I don't like Thor 2, or whatever. But at the same time, like, you kind of have to watch all of them because it's one giant arc that goes through several stories just like a fucking comic book. And I think that's what grinds my gears about the whole thing, is just like, do you not realize what the fuck you're watching?
Well, and it's, I think it's...
Goddamn comic book in real life!
And people are just jaded now. Like, it's a... You're getting what you always wanted. Your fucking childhood. You've always wanted to see these characters on screen. you've always wanted it, and now you're getting it. You've seen it so many times that you're just like, man, why didn't someone die yet? Like, fucking, it's gonna happen at some point. Tony Stark will either A, retire or get killed off. Not yet.
Yeah.
But it'll happen. Like, it will, all the torches will get passed down, and they're coming. It's coming soon. Captain America will be gone, and someone else will take up his mantle. Tony Stark will be no more, and someone else will take up his mantle. Yep. Thor, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Vision just straight up picked up his hammer. Spoilers, by the way.
That's, yeah, that's true. But we all know that Vision has to die, unless, of course, he dies and comes back after whichmacallit's defeated.
Yeah.
So now I can't remember his name. Oh, that's who. That's whose name we had to look up. I think was which fucking guy? The Gauntlet Glove. The fucking help me.
Not Thanos.
Thanos wasn't it Thanos?
No, it was. I don't remember. It was somebody, and it was literally one of those like. It's not remember because it's out of context. But, like, exactly who it was, but I do remember being like,
these just sitting at my desk going like this.
Guys, seriously? I know. Like, this is a huge character in the movie.
Maybe that's why our listeners listen, because they're just like, holy shit. Like, this is so frustrating. I cannot turn away. They need to get this. I need to tell them. There is... Okay, so if you want dark, that's what DC's all about. Like, that's their whole thing. DC is about the whole grittiness. And even you can see it in their film... And if you want dark Marvel... Fucking Netflix just gave it to you.
Yeah, Daredevil, right? Exactly. And then I guess they were like, well, I wish they'd kind of bring some of that into the movies. And
it doesn't need to be.
But it does, yeah. I mean, like, maybe a movie, a single movie should be, like, maybe Black Panther kind of should be that way, because that's kind of a darker story to begin with. Mm-hmm. And but
and you kind of felt that, you kind of had that feeling, too, whenever they went into that fucking graveyard. Into that boat graveyard, like that, you know. I mean, his arm fucking got chopped off.
Yeah,
and you know, then they go dark. All the Avengers were dead, laying on in the fucking space. Yeah. Like, what do you want? Like, I mean, you're gonna get your little darkness there. Even Captain America 2 was pretty dark. It was an espionage movie and stuff, but it went a little, like, everyone's breaking apart. People are getting shot.
Yeah, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is collapsing. Yeah. Like, all this, like, that was nuts. And I think one of the things that also bugs me really about that is that they're like, you know, none of these movies are as good as Iron Man 1. And I'm sorry, I like Iron Man 1. It's, like, the first one in this, like, franchise. It really kicked everything off. But, dude, Jeff Bridges is the shittiest bad guy in, like, almost all of the movies. All of Iron Man's bad guys are absolutely fucking terrible.
Hey, come over here. Yeah, I mean, Marvel isn't known for their strong bad guys, and that's the bit. Like, even their bad... Okay, even when you have... That's the only critique that I would say I'm worried about Thanos, is because he's supposed to be just the uttermost badass baddie. Like, fucking Emperor Palpatine shit. Like, let's fucking blow up a planet and shit, you know? Like...
Yeah.
Death Star shit. Like, that's how... And I just don't think he's going to get there. Like, because you look at Ultron, and he ended up... Really? Honestly? If you really break it down, he kind of was very... He was a very needy guy.
Yeah.
You know? He wanted someone to talk to. We thought we were going to get this badass character, and he was just like, no way, don't go.
Yeah. It was a really interesting character.
No, he was.
And James Spader fucking killed that role. It was amazing.
That is for sure.
But I don't know. So that's something that's been just bugging me. I see it on Facebook, and it's just one of those things where I just want to comment, but I just don't want to piss anybody off because it's not worth it. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just, these are fucking comic book movies. Like, let's treat them.
And you know what? For every
but there's like that. There's the flip side of that, because there's the other half where it's like, maybe the Academy Awards should fucking notice that, like, yeah, some of these movies that are coming out of this genre are fucking incredible.
Yeah, I think that Guardians of the Galaxy should have received at least an Academy Award for CGI. Like, fucking Groot. That was beautiful.
And so
a couple of his scenes, especially with the little fireworks and shit, like, lit up the room, whatever he did, you know?
Yeah.
That was a beautiful scene.
Yeah, for sure. And so, like I said, there's the flip side of, like, one, you should look at it, what it is that it's a comic book in real life. Like, it's a comic book live action movie or you know whatever. Yeah. But I don't know. But that also brings me into the Joker.
Oh yeah,
and
we
how
gotta
we're
talk
fucking
about this.
Jaded.
Okay, I do have problems with this, and I'll tell you why. Now, like I said, I know that there's different versions of the Joker that are in comic books and what we've seen in the movies and the television shows. I mean, even going back to Batman in the 1960s, Joker had a goddamn mustache.
Yeah, it's because Caesar wouldn't fucking shave it off. He was, they're like, "Hey, we need to shove that mic," and he was like,
"Like fuck you,
no."
He's like, "I'm keeping my mustache.
You just paint over it."
So they look so terrible. But so if no one knows what we're talking about, there's pictures released online. A couple weeks ago, they showed the picture of him and all of his tattoos, and then there was a tweet going out that said, "This is not the final look. It looks, you know, it was photoshopped. The picture was edited, blah, blah, blah." Now, pictures have been released from the set of Joker being on the set, Jared Leto being on the set, and it is full-on tattoos. Like, he's got the one on the forehead, he's got the chest ones, he's got the stomach ones. They're all there.
Yeah, you can see the ones coming up the neck.
Yeah, the ones coming up the neck. Here's the problem I have with it. I've been really trying to figure out where to put my finger on it, and it's not that I think that like they should have went with a Heath Ledger look or anything, and it's unachievable. You know, I think that they went with kind of like in between a Jack Nicholson and in between Heath Ledger, but I think he's going to be absolutely fucking insane. Like an absolute, you know, as far as his look goes, he looks kind of like almost a cartoony homicidal maniac kind of.
I feel like we've really gone back almost to, in his look, almost to what you could visualize him looking like in some of the animated cartoons.
Yeah, yes, that's it. Yeah,
just that incredibly white skin and that just bright green hair.
And
the brightest green. It's insane.
I kid you not, Doug. I was sitting next to somebody today, and I text you this, but I think you think I was joking. I'm not joking. The picture was full screen. Dude sits down next to me and goes, "All right, what's the vampire doing with green hair?" And I went, "Oh, that's the new Joker." And they're like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, it's the new Joker from the Suicide Squad." Yeah. And he goes, "Suicide what?"
So part of my point of my text earlier, where I was just like, I think that we as a collective, we hold on to the things that we've seen before and we know. So like again, when Heath Ledger was cast, you know, it was the whole like, how the fuck is this pretty boy gonna play this character? Like, there's no way that literally the dude from 10 Things I Hate About You is gonna be able to play this psychopath. But then you see it, you know, and you're like,
okay,
holy
shit. Doug, you have to admit.
But now I think the problem is that we're seeing this like ultra cartoony version of him that we've never seen in cinema before. Even Jack Nicholson does not compare in the look of this. That I think that it's kind of like, I don't know what to do with this because it looks so fucking weird.
It does look so weird, but you have to admit, okay, there's a difference between way people looked at the first image of Heath Ledger versus
the first
image of Heath Ledger was him, right? With the cuts and the cuts on here. Remember, it was a black background. It was his face, and it was the eye makeup and the cuts on the face, and everyone went, holy shit.
Well, I think at that point, again, this was a new representation of the Joker that we hadn't even really seen in the comics yet either. I mean, instead of my skin being bleached from falling into the pit, my hair being turned green from falling, not into the pit, but into the, you
acid.
Know, the chemicals at Ace Chemicals or whatever, like his kind of origin story is, this was a guy who was like slathering on white paint onto his face and had dyed his hair this really shitty green color. Like, he had just done it in the sink that morning and then not washed his hair and looked like he just fucking crawled out of a gutter. And it was a totally different look to this character. You know what I mean? So when we saw that, it was not only like, holy shit, it was like, the fuck happened to his face? Like, oh, he didn't paint smiles on? No, his smile's a goddamn scar from his mouth being cut open.
Everybody was
like, that was just bonkers. But again, we're seeing this, and it's that white pearlescent skin, and it's that flaming green hair. Like, cartoonish levels, and I think again that's the problem. It's weird. It's not what we expected.
It is really weird.
In a way that we've seen him before, but in a way we haven't seen him before.
Okay, I can understand that, but you have to admit, if you're gonna go that kind of direction, it's also kind of weird to mix so many things together. Like, okay, you're gonna go this kind of like really white skin and then the really green and make it kind of anime style, you know, from back in the day, or comic book, however you want. But then you're going to get like ultra realistic with the tattoos all over him. Like, I don't know, man. And then the shiny suit, like, that's one thing I was just like, I don't know, man. If you're insane, maybe you wear a P. Diddy suit, I guess. I don't know. Like, and now I did like his car. His car looked pretty badass, and then the license plate said ha 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 ha.
Well, the thinking is on that whole scene is that people were recognizing it from specific comics and stuff, where especially since you see Harley and she's not Harley.
Do you think it's a flashback?
They're saying this may be a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be him being broken out of Arkham Asylum, and so, like, again, she's dressed maybe like,
so maybe he has on somebody else's,
maybe he's really excited he just got busted out of Arkham Asylum, so he's driving his really fucking flashy car and his really fucking flashy suit as a giant middle finger to Gotham.
And no matter,
bitches, I'm out. And so, you know, and then like they see his ha 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 car drive by and he's in this fucking flashy suit, and like Gotham PD can't touch this motherfucker. Well, they can't. They can try, but you know, it's maybe the Joker.
Maybe okay. And so everybody's up in arms about it. Some people like it. Doug is. I mean, you've been a proponent about it. You've really liked it.
I'm trying to not fall into the same like negativity that we did with Ben Affleck or that we did with Heath Ledger.
Oh, I didn't do that with Ben Affleck. I was on board.
But the world as a whole went. Yeah, you know, we saw Daredevil.
Yeah,
you're right.
But this
then,
is
again,
this
with
is
Heath
also
Ledger,
coming.
Was like, I've seen your movies. I don't understand how you're going to do this. And I'm trying not to.
My
and
perspective.
And I'm trying to look at it as like the whole movie looks. What they're wearing looks. Someone even posted, I think, on the cosplay board that we're on, where it was like, "This looks like a cosplay. Like, it looks like a bunch of cosplayers." Yeah, instead, like, of their costumes, because just the way that they look,
everybody
really
looks
and
very. Everyone looks very flashy. Everyone looks very cheap. Like, even Harley Quinn, I was like, "That's what they're gonna go with."
When it's very reminiscent of what she wears in the Suicide Squad comics, the ones that are currently running right now. I mean, it really does. I mean, she the blue and pink instead of the black and red.
I didn't think the shorts were gonna be that. I was just like, oh boy. I was like, well, I guess the cosplayers are going to have fun with this one.
Oh yeah, it's already started.
Can't wait for this weekend.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Or am
I? But I think my biggest complaint overall, and something I mentioned again earlier today in our text conversation, was just I feel that the biggest flaw that they're doing right now is I think they're rushing it. I feel like this is a movie, while I'm excited that it's happening, this is Batman villains teaming up to fight other Batman villains when we have barely even met Batman at this point. I mean, by that time we will have had
we're gonna see them, but from what I'm hearing, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Well, we know Batman's on set, but
it's supposed to be a prequel to Batman versus Superman.
But I still feel that like there's something missing in between. Like, I don't need a whole movie of him like arresting every single one of them and throwing them into.
But maybe we get the backstory, and because we already know the characters, you know, like all these years. I think that's the thing. Is like, I don't know if it matters.
Yes
to
and
set
no, but
them
like
up.
You had a guy that you were sitting next to today who didn't know who the fuck the Suicide Squad was. You know what I mean? Like, there
that's
are
true.
Characters. Yes, that comic book people are like, oh, Killer Croc, I know. Harley Quinn, I know. Deadshot, I know. But there's a large amount of people that are like, okay, name me some Batman villains. Okay, Riddler, Joker, Penguin, Two-Face.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze, because I saw the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where they stop.
Yeah, but Catwoman. If Guardians of the Galaxy can do it, this can for sure do it. Like, they could pull it off.
It's possible. It's all, I think, going to be word of mouth. Kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy was, where it was like, okay, one, it's Marvel, so
We trust it.
Two, you know, it did really well opening weekend, but it's a movie that kind of stuck around afterwards because people were like, so go see that. That was amazing. And this is one of those movies where it may do really great opening weekend, but if it falters in any way, people are like,
I'm really
it's
scared.
Just okay, then it will probably not do so well.
I'm really scared that it will, because of the fact that the bad energy around it so far. Right, you know, everyone making fun of Will Smith, of course, for pulling a Tony Stark and, you know, a fucking Robert Downey Jr. No one's seen him with the goddamn mask on yet. Every set photo is him with it off.
Well, that's another thing. His character didn't have a mask until recently. Deadshot didn't always wear a mask. I mean, that's really in like,
yeah,
the
but
last
he's got the eyepiece.
He has the eyepiece, but he also doesn't have that in his entire run either.
Yeah, but I think people were trying to, you know,
and again,
expecting
we've been
it.
Seeing a lot of flashback stuff. Apparently, yeah. This movie's going to be rife with flashbacks.
This movie is a flashback.
Yeah, the whole thing is. Yeah. The movie has flashbacks within its flashbacks.
And then at the end of the movie is the start of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. So,
I think we're going to go through this song and dance as production keeps going and wraps up, and I think the only time that we're going to be relieved or actually be confident in it is, of course, when we see the performance of the Joker and of all the other cast, and that won't be for another year. We won't see a trailer, and yeah. So.
And again, I think part of the problem is, again, when Heath Ledger was in that movie, we already had Batman Begins, so we trusted Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, and
we
it was
knew
established.
That he could do a good Batman movie. David Ayers, don't really know what he's going to do with this movie, don't know what type of performance he's going to pull out of these actors. We knew that going into that whatever Chris Nolan did, he was going to pull a good performance out of Heath Ledger.
I got to say, though, that Killer Croc does look pretty badass.
No, he looks cool. I kind of wish he was a little bit bigger, but that's I loved him in the Arkham games where he was just like 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. But he kind of looked like what he does now, but it was just, I mean, you see him in the sewers that first time and you're like,
holy shit.
Fuck me.
You know what I wish? I really hope and wish that they use the Scarecrow from the video games and just bring him over to the films. Like, just that'd be so badass. He's so scary.
He's one of the coolest versions of him.
Oh yeah.
Although in the comic book, the Dark Victory, I think it is, he shows up, and the way that the artist did it, I think it was Timothy Sale, dude, he's creepy as fuck looking. Like,
really?
It's not like, it's just, it almost looks like something out of like a Tim Burton movie. Like the way that he's drawn, like his hat is like super fucking long and pointy.
Yeah.
And it's just, and like, they show like a picture of Joker and like his mouth is way too fucking big and has way too many teeth in it. It's just like so bizarre. Is really good. I think it was Tim Sale. I don't remember. It's Jeff Loeb, who is the Marvel TV director right now. He was the writer for that. Oh. Something Sales, the artist. Anyways, I've talked about that column before.
All right. So the ending to this, people, is let us know what you think as well. I think we'd like some feedback on it. Obviously, we're not the... Thank you, Windows, for telling me that there's new fucking content.
Right in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
So goddamn unprofessional, Windows.
Yeah. I'm going to Mac.
Can't you see I'm in the middle of doing something?
So let us know what you think. Obviously, you've heard what we think, and there's no real winner here because both of us could be wrong, one of us could be right, and it's only time will tell. So, every week we like to take a look at the top box office as well and run down your top films to see what you should be supporting and should not, and I can tell you, number one, you shouldn't fucking supported that.
Number one?
I heard it was not as good as the first.
Really?
Yeah. I heard it was like... Anyways, number five is Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2, making $3.6 million for a total of $62 million. We're going to get another one. Number four is Hot Pursuit, making $5.7 million, a huge bomb with only $23 million.
Huge bomb.
Huge.
I'm looking to see how much it costs to make Paul Blart because I'm really fucking curious.
Number three is Avengers: Age of Ultron, making $38.84 for a total of $372 million in 3 weeks.
Whew. Jesus Christ.
Number two is a fucking film that everyone needs to go see. It's got a 99% Rotten Tomato rating. Mad Max Fury Road. Fuck. 44.
So awesome.
44 million. We'll get into that in a second. 44 million in its first week. And number one, Pitch Perfect 2. All the bitches going to see that one. Making 70 million in its first week. The only reason why, I mean, I love the first Pitch Perfect,
mm-hmm.
But I've heard from this one, a lot of reviews coming out saying it stumbles on itself. It's not as funny, and it just rides the coattails of the first one. So
yeah, I know that you know, your best friend who was invited to your birthday today, Jason went and saw it, and he seemed to enjoy it.
Oh, I didn't see that update.
Oh, you didn't. He posted it. Then he gave it like an 8 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 or something like that.
And he didn't even go see, he hasn't seen Mad Max yet. Strange.
Well.
Strange. Strange. We'll get into that in a second. But first, let's run down some gaming news real quick. All right, well, the internet can kind of calm the fuck down because Microsoft didn't fucking brick anyone's consoles. The internet went up in a blaze because of the fact that Gears of War leakers leaked footage from the remastering of Gears of War, and they got kicked off of Live because they signed an NDA and they broke the NDA. So that's what you get. I don't know why people seem to believe that punishment shouldn't come to people that do bad things. And like, everyone was up in arms because they're like, they brick my console. Okay, so, you know, even if they did, well, fuck you. You shouldn't have fucking released footage.
Yeah, you signed an NDA, bro, and I'm sure whatever you signed probably said in there, like, hey, if you do this, we'll brick your machine.
Yeah.
Like I think I even read that in this article where it even said that it was like, okay, so VMC, the third-party QA contractor that hired said leakers, sent an email to all of its testers warning them not to do the same, reminding them that the NDAs they signed, and curiously that Microsoft does, in fact, have the ability to make their Xbox One consoles entirely unusable.
I mean, essentially they did
Should they breach their contracts? So surely there's something in the contract that says, don't do it, we'll fuck you up.
And they did it anyways, and guess what?
Now you learn your machine.
And they kind of did anyways. I mean, if you're going to knock out someone's Live account, you kind of brick their device because you need online for pretty much everything. So
I mean, you can get away with a lot, but I'll tell you what, man. My internet was down the day I got Shadows of Mordor, and it would not. I mean, like, I put it in, and it was like, I need to update. And I'm like, how do you know that? You're offline.
God, I hate
like,
it.
How the fuck do you know that?
I fucking hate it when I put it in and it has to update.
Yeah.
All the time.
But I'm just like, I don't understand how you know that. Like, you literally are not connected to the internet. Who
told
you?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you put it in fast or slow. Like, update, please.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes. He gets it. And so it's so stupid. I mean, yeah, they could buy new Live accounts and they'll be good to go, but don't break the law. Like, and I don't know why people would get up behind them and be like, Microsoft, you're wrong for doing this. Sorry, if you're going to sign an agreement, you're bound by that agreement. Like, fuck off. Like,
agreed.
The Oculus Rift specs are confirmed, and we have a release of 2016. These are kind of high specs, man. I did not expect this. A GTX 970 or an AMD 290 equivalent, that's a fucking $350 card.
Yeah.
And so that so you got to have an i5 4590. 8 gigs of RAM and 2 USB 3.0 ports. Holy shit. Like, my motherboard still only has 2.0.
Yeah.
So don't
I mean, a lot of people do. Maybe they're just hoping that, like, maybe by next year,
and
people will up their shit.
But you're pretty much alienating anyone on a Mac now.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Hopefully, Valve comes out and my trust is in Valve now over Oculus. Oculus may have started it, but I really think that Valve is going to bring it home.
I feel that, like, I don't want to say they dropped the ball because I don't think that's accurate. I think that they sold their soul to Facebook.
And I think that, and I think that they did not strike while the iron was hot. I think that they've lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered. And they've lingered way too long, and now one company came up and said, oh, we could do this way better.
Yeah, and then apparently their sets are better. I mean, yeah, I think that they literally dicked around for 3 months making their sell to Facebook for a fucking... You know what, though? They lived the goddamn American dream. You created a technology that people wanted, and then you sold it for billions.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it fails,
they're
goddamn
like... goddamn American dream.
Even if it fails, they're going to be like, well, I made my billions.
Yeah, ain't my problem. Good luck, Facebook.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm reading... Okay, I guess we can get into this now. Okay.
Are you watching closely?
Okay, I can't even wait. So,
yeah. I'm like, give me like one more story left. You're like, fuck it.
Okay, so I'm reading Ready Player One, and yep. I'm getting into this book. Like, I'm getting pretty deep into it, and I cannot tell you how this man has told the future. And I'm just like thinking about the VR stuff that's just happening now. I'm like, we are going to be living in the Oasis next year. Like, someone's going to make it.
Yeah, it's terrifying, and also I want it.
Yeah, it's really terrifying. Like, after reading the book, I'm like, wow, so no one really lives in the real world anymore. But I want it.
But I want it.
But I want it.
I want it. Like I'm like, well, just, he talks about the school that he goes to, and I'm reading it going like, motherfucker, I would have learned so much shit if my school had been that way.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it's like, hey, let's go talk about the moons of Jupiter, and let's go stand on the fucking moon of Jupiter, you know, or moons of Jupiter, and learn about them. Like,
hey, let's
that
take
is a learning
interactive
experience that, like, boggles my mind, because it's not just sitting in a classroom reading a textbook. It's standing on it, because it's all virtual reality.
Yeah.
And so you can literally see it. They can literally travel back in time through these VR machines.
And they have haptic gloves, so they could fucking just, like, hey, pick up the dirt from the moon, and you could pick it up and feel gravity in your hands.
Yeah.
You could fucking throw it.
Exactly.
So, dude, this book is blowing my mind. I'm so happy that I continued reading it, and I'm still getting through it. And I don't want it to end already, and I know that it will, and I'm going to be really sad. And I'm really sad to figure out what happens, because I have a bad feeling about it. Like, I'm kind of having a guess in my mind about what's going to happen. You know, obviously, spoilers. Don't tell me if I'm wrong or right. This is just me guessing, okay? But you cannot give me a clue. Don't give me any hints. Okay.
I won't.
So, he wins the contest, but he doesn't win the contest, because the overlords at that corporation who are hired the Gunter, is it Gunters?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Gunters are like, they're, I think that they become the enemies, and they're trying to take them out, and like, I just think it's all going to go to shit. Like, I have a bad feeling about this kid. Like, I feel so bad for him, because he has nothing. He's going to get everything, only to have it ripped away. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen. So, don't tell me. Phenomenal book, though, right?
I mean, it's just
phenomenal. But I'm already like starting to like weep inside, because I'm just like, fuck, man, this kid. Don't do it to him. Don't build him up just to give him everything to take it away. And I feel like the fucking corporations are gonna do it. But anyways, if you haven't read the book, go read the book. It's really great. I've been reading it. The other thing,
this is one of those moments where I wish we had that Audible arrangement. If you have Audible, just go get it on audiobook. It's read by Will Wheaton. I mean, that should be enough.
That's true.
Which I don't know if you've gotten in the book. It's not a huge point, but they make reference that Will Wheaton is the president of the Oasis. Like, the elected president of the Oasis.
And they trick you in the book, dude, because you think, like, you look at the book and it's not that big, and then when you open it, there's really small letters, man. There's a lot of lines on every page. It's like, all right, come read this 300-page book that really would have been 900 pages if we would have made it normal spacing.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. I'm reading 14 by Peter Klein. Klein's, I think, with an S. And
Klein's.
Yeah, and I'm like on chapter like 20-something, and it's literally like a third of the way through the book.
Holy shit.
And it's one of those just like, you know, you're like, oh, man, all right, I'm on to part three. And then, like, you close the book, and you're like, fuck.
You're like, I got a lot to go.
Yeah, and it's one of those books where, like, a lot has happened, and nothing has happened. Like, it's insane. It's like, you feel like, oh, man, the story's really progressing. But then you look back on it, and you're like, oh, not a lot has happened.
And that's what
like,
I'm scared
he's just,
of.
He's just a great storyteller that it makes you really invested in it, but you're just like, at the end, like, wow. Okay, you could have summed this up on like 5 pages, bro.
Well, that's the problem. That's the not the problem. That's the scary part about what I think about Ready Player One, because there's so much setup, and I'm just like, why are they doing this to me? why? What? There's obviously I'm really gonna get let down in the future because of this.
But oh, for sure, man. I mean, literally to have a VR game with like every fucking property ever you can go visit anywhere. Yeah. Like I'm immediately, you know, they're like they said that and I was like, oh my god, I'd go to Tatooine. You kidding me? I'd spend my life in the Star Wars universe.
I'd be like, holy shit. And it's just so much fun. Anyways, it's a great book. And 14, how's 14?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, I don't want to like undersell it by saying like, oh, I'm a third of the way through and so much has happened but nothing's happened. It's one of those stories where even though he like kind of like pitched it to us at the convention, I still have no idea what the fuck this book's about. And I like that because I'm only a third of the way through, and so like I don't know what's gonna happen. Like I have no expectations. I have no like predictions even. Like I don't know where this story is going. It's getting weird as it's progressing. It's been pretty good. And then there's another book that I've been listening to that I really wanted to talk to Kevin about, so I'm just going to name drop it on this episode, and then when he's back, he and I can talk about it, because he recommended it a couple of shows back, and that's The Disaster Artist, and it's about the guy that made the movie The Room, Tommy Wiseau, and it is bonkers. Like, the dude is nuts.
Really?
It's really fucking interesting. And then the thing that we both need to talk about, motherfucking Mad Max Fury goddamn Road.
Wow. Just wow. I've been trying to come up with new words to describe it because there are no... I cannot use awesome or amazing to describe this because it was just...
When I told you guys I saw it, I was like, oh my god, this movie. It was insane. Like, I was like, I don't... It was visually just, I mean, I said bonkers for this other thing. No, this Mad Max was bonkers. It was goddamn nuts.
First of all, the action was incredible. The story was spectacular. And the cinematography is unlike anything I've ever seen in a movie ever in my entire life.
It was crazy.
You have got to see some of these shots that they put together. Okay. Spoilers a little bit. But, Doug, I have to tell you. Okay, some of the shots. The nighttime scenes? Fucking insane. When they're in the desert.
Yeah.
When they're in the sandstorm.
Yeah.
Like, when they pulled back to that wide shot... I was just like, I just went like this to my face, and I was like, oh. It was just like, I was like, how has nobody ever shown me something like this?
It was insane. My one complaint about the movie, the one thing I had, is that I felt that George Miller, I believe, is the director of this movie, is that he really pushed the 3D, and we didn't see it in 3D, but there was so many moments where I went, like, that's one of those, that's, you know, that's a 3D
show. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that right there was made for 3D. And like, that sandstorm, like, I want to go back. Rarely do I want to go back and see a movie in 3D. And this is one of those moments where I want to have, like, the perfect in the center of the movie theater so you don't have to worry about moving your head around. Because the farther you get to the edge, the more you can't fucking move.
Right.
But, you know, right in the center and just soak it all in. Because that storm scene, I guarantee you in 3D was probably just fucking mind-boggling. Just that depth of that shot. And then, like, the shots of them, like, there's parts where literally you can see, like, bikers go over a hill and then down into, like, a valley where maybe they're out doing their car shit. And it's, like, that shot up in the front of the bikers going over the hill was clearly added later. And they did that for the 3D to give it, like, that depth of people right in the foreground.
Right.
Well, way that fuckers went way down there. That was my one complaint. It was just like, oh, that feels
I can't even,
so CG and fake because
no,
of the of it's made for 3D, and I'm not seeing it that way, and I can tell that it's that way.
Even with that, I can't knock it. Like that, I'm not gonna like. It's no well, point.
It,
taking
I didn't
off.
Hate it. Like, I mean, I want to see the movie again, and I'm telling you, this is a movie that's making me want to go back and see it again in 3D because I feel like I missed something somehow. Like maybe there was a little bit more to this movie that like that director wanted you to see that depth of that ocean of sand and this giant fucking war machine semi plowing through people chasing after it like they're fucking, you know, nothing.
Dude,
you know, just stomping on them like they're ants. It was insane.
Do you know how good this movie is? Okay. It is the only movie that I've ever seen in my life that will make you... Okay. The fucking... It drove in a straight line. I don't know how the fuck you make it so exciting. A truck drove in a straight line.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. This isn't like the Fast and Furious movies where they're like racing through like a mountainside and there's like 50 twists and turns through the mountain and there's, you know, oh shit, there's a jump. It's just like, no, they're in a fucking desert wasteland. There's nothing. It's flat ground.
They're driving east.
They're just headed.
Yeah. And so they made it so like interesting. And the character designs, like, oh, the villain. Like he was fucking so like, oh, Ashley was okay. In the beginning, I did get freaked out and I thought that I was like, oh, this theater is fucking up this movie because the speed of the film kept going faster and like when he's running and stuff, and I go, something's wrong. I was like something's wrong.
I thought the same thing at the very 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 beginning because mm-hmm. It's kind of doing like this it's supposed to be weird
psychedelic
because, like,
kind of thing.
Yeah. And yeah, those guys are running like everything's way too quick.
Yeah. And I thought
the same thing. I was like, oh, this feels wrong. And then
I was like, did they film this in 44 frames per second? I was like,
yeah,
what was happening?
Yeah,
but that only lasted like three scenes. Like,
yeah, either that or we got used to it. I was trying to place it. I was like, is it still happening, or did I just my brain just adjust to the? And I think it was just the beginning.
Yeah, but that was such a sick. Go see that movie. Please go see the movie.
And he announced today that he's already planning the next few movies. The next one's going to be called Mad Max. Like Wasteland.
And Tom Hardy signed on for multiple films. And Ashley goes, she leaned over at one point in the movie and she goes, he can talk to me any day. And I go, funny. I was like, was there a little, I said to her after the film, I was like, I heard a little Bane in there. and then she goes, yeah, and I heard, and I saw a little bit of when he played the character, what's that character that he did with Shia LaBeouf? The one where he was
In Lawless?
Yeah, in Lawless. She goes, it's like a mix between Lawless and Bane. I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. Because he does that whole, and then the nod, and then you heard him a little bit when he was like, what are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you need to watch the show Peaky Blinders. When he shows up in that show, mm-hmm. like, I've told you the story before, I'm sure. I was sitting there like, playing a card game on my tablet, just kind of listening to the show mostly, and it was just like, do you want the white bread or the wheat bread? And I was like, is Bane someone asking someone about bread? I just kept playing my game, and it was like, and the main character Cillian Murphy is like, I'll take the brown bread. And he was like,
the brown bread tastes like shit.
And I was like, I just had to look up, and I was like, oh fuck, it actually is Tom Hardy. Like,
that is wrong choice, my friend.
Yeah.
The brown bread's for the peasants. It tastes like shit.
It was just like one of those, like, what the fuck? You sound the same in everything. Like,
that's awesome.
But you know what was really great about Mad Max is the fact that, like, he had such a small part and yet such a big part.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would love to see them continue this. Almost like, you remember the old Clint Eastwood movies where he played the stranger, kind of like The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More, where he just played this cowboy that just rolled into town and would just help the people, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how what they should be doing with Mad Max, where he just rolls up and just ends up helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, the star of this movie was fucking Charlize Theron, man. She killed that movie.
She did.
I mean,
she's such a strong character. And I want to say right now, fuck all these groups that always want to shit on people. Like, you know, there's another group out there saying that it's a fucking anti-feminist movie, and it's like a huge, like, we can't just fucking enjoy something just to enjoy it. Like, it has to, there's got to be some propaganda behind it. Like, fuck
really,
off.
Really, everything I've read has been, like, really, like, how it's a very pro-feminist movie.
Like, it had
and how it's
like,
a bunch of, but instead of, it's not Mad Max necessarily rolling up to a bunch of women in distress. It's Mad Max, like, showing up at the right time and surviving because
exactly.
these badass women help him. Like,
exactly.
And, like, yeah, they make it through together, but it's not him helping damsels in distress. It's
like,
just,
they fucking...
It's him just riding a ride-along with some, like, six badass chicks that then turns into, like, 12 badass chicks.
They were
and
really
him.
Hot, though.
Like, I mean, and his role is so... Really, in the scheme of things, it's kind of minute. It's really about them.
Yeah, but he does have some pretty fucking awesome scenes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still the main character, but yeah. It's still, like... And that's what I like. I would like to see more of these Mad Max movies really focus on, again, just him being this, like, wanderer in the wasteland and yeah. just running into different aspects or different people in this crazy motherfucking land. Like, this place, it's gotten so crazy since the original three. I mean, it got crazy. It's like it just got crazier.
I'm enjoying it. So go see it. It's a lot of fun. I got one more thing to cover. So I've been playing with something that I got for my birthday.
Uh-oh. Wait. What?
Huh?
Sounds dirty. Oh, shit. You got a DS.
Big shout out to Ryan. And I can't... Like, I told Ryan, do not do this. Do not do this multiple times. I was like... There is no reason for you to do this at all. And he wouldn't listen. And he said, just take this, bitch.
Oh, God.
And then I said, okay, I'll take it. But what am I going to owe you? Am I going to owe you anything sexual later on? And he goes, it's in the mail. So he got me a Nintendo DS. And it's been a blast. I've been playing the Super Mario 3D Land on it. And it brings me back to the good old days of gaming, where it's just fun. Like, it's just fun to go through a platformer. Like, I miss that. But I do have a question for you, Doug.
Okay.
Capcom is having a sale. Okay. Yeah. There's three games on sale.
Oh shit.
60% off. Do I go with Resident Evil Revelations, Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D? Or Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition.
Oh,
all
shit.
Of them are $8.99. No, Resident Evil Revelations. Now, that has a 5-star rating.
Mm-hmm.
Street Fighter has a 4.5-star rating. And Resident Evil has a 4.5-star rating. Don't know which one to get. And they're both $7.99 and one's $8.99. So, good deal.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I guess what type of game do you like more? Do you like the Resident Evil kind of like shoot 'em?
I like the Resident
Evil. Or do you
Evils.
Like the fighter brawler game?
And that's the other thing. Do I really need to buy this? But I love games that are on sale. And, you
that's
know.
That's also true.
I'm waiting. Like, I have my Mario game until I beat that. I've made a decision. I'm not buying multiple games on this thing because I'll never finish them.
And you know what? I do have a code sitting right here in front of me. Are you still good? How long are you good for? It is for Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition for Steam, and it is free that I could give you.
Well, there's that. Done deal.
So,
all right. Well, there
and
goes
I have
that.
Another one if someone wants to tweet at me and say that they want to have two, actually. So I have another
oh,
one
sweet.
If someone wants it.
All right, so you heard him. Tweet at us. Let us know that you want the game, and the first one gets it.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show for the week. Next week, you can expect a lot of content. Well, actually, this week. Come Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Sorry, guys, that we're not going to be down there Friday. It actually opens Thursday, but Big Daddy Jim, it has to work on Friday. So.
Yep, me too. I've got
so does Doug. But we'll still get 3 days. I mean, that's still fucking... We're getting down there in the busiest day. We have to make sure that we get down there early because it is the busiest day. And the doors open at like 10 or something like that. I wish that we'd get down there sooner, but I know I can't push it. I can't push it with Doug.
No.
So I'm going to be at Doug's house with a camera in my hand. 6:37? 6:37, yeah. And
it's about a 4-hour drive.
Yeah, it's a 4-hour drive, and we'll obviously it's going to be about 4 hours 15 minutes because we're going to have to make a stop at Bucky's.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So we got to put that into account.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
All right, guys, this has been a great show. I hope that you enjoyed it. I kind of like these shows, Doug. I like the shows where we get to kind of go really in-depth with our thoughts about what we love and the characters and stuff. I enjoy that instead of just touching bases here on these couple stories, you know?
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah. We haven't really done it well, but it has also hasn't just been you and I. And also, not a lot of stories this week.
Yeah.
In comparison. I think like 2 weeks ago, we had like 30 stories, and it was just like... Fuck.
Yeah.
So much happened this week.
Maybe if you guys like it better if we do just a couple stories and expand our thoughts on the stories, and let us know. If you like us to just cover as many as possible like we have done, or if you like us to just do pick out 2 or 3 and then really get in depth with them, let us know. Your feedback shapes the show, okay? I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
And I got a big old DS.